Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We heard you wanted a clear, concise overview of South Africa's Home Loan and Mortgage Disclosure Act from 2000. So that's our mission today.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting piece of legislation.
We're going to cut through some of the legal jargon and look why this act, right from December 2000, is seen as such a powerful tool for, well, transparency in housing finance.
It absolutely is. I mean, its stated goal isn't just, you know, counting loans. It's explicitly to promote fair lending practices, which means forcing financial institutions to disclose information about home loans.
Okay.
And it even set up a specific body, the Office of Disclosure, to handle all that data. It's really about tackling past unfairness using information.
Right. Okay. Let's unpack that because, you know, often financial regulations are about stability, maybe consumer protection. This sounds different. Deeper, maybe. Mm-hmm. Why this specific legislative push?
Well, the why is powerful. The act anchors itself directly, explicitly in the South African Constitution.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, the preamble, it basically lays it all out. It references Section 9, that's the Equality Clause, prohibiting unfair discrimination based on race, gender, all those rounds. And even Section 32, the right to access information. It's all there.
Wow. So grounding financial regulation in Section 9, the Equality Clause.
Yeah.
That's a really strong statement. It's saying lending isn't just business, it's tied to fundamental rights.
Exactly. And it directly acknowledges that this is about addressing past discrimination by financial institutions. It's not just looking forward, it's confronting history.
Okay, so the constitutional backing is clear and it's strong. How does the act actually make this happen? What's the mechanism on the ground?
The core mechanism is mandatory disclosure in their annual financial statements.
So it's public?
Yes, very public. Financial institutions, banks, mutual banks, pretty much everyone in the home loan game, they have to report specific required information. And crucially, it has to be under its own heading. Disclosure requirements in terms of Home Loan and Mortgage Disclosure Act.
So they can't just bury it in the footnote somewhere. Smart. What kind of information? What data are we talking about? This is where the transparency really bites, right?
It gets very specific. They need to report the total number and the total monetary amount of all home loan applications they receive. That's the baseline.
Okay, total applications.
But then critically, the total number and amount of applications they declined. And this is really important, the reasons for those rejections.
Wait, hang on. The actual reasons for turning people down, they have to report that.
Yes. Standardized reasons, presumably, but yes, they have to state why loans were rejected. And it goes further.
How so?
All that data, applications, rejections, reasons, has to be broken down by prescribed categories of borrowers and significantly by geographic areas.
Geographic areas. Okay, now I see. That breakdown lets you look for patterns, right? Like potential redlining or discrimination against certain types of borrowers in certain places.
Precisely. It allows regulators and actually the public too to scrutinize lending patterns much more closely.
That sounds like a huge administrative task for the lenders. Breaking it down like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess necessary if you're serious about spotting unfair practices. And I saw something about auditors too.
You did. The act pulls in the external auditors. They don't just check the usual financial figures. They have to specifically comment on the accuracy and the comprehensiveness of this particular disclosure. Adds another layer of accountability.
Okay, so you've got this mountain of detailed data pouring in, broken down by borrower type, by area, with rejection reasons. Who actually makes sense of it all?
Yeah.
That's the Office of Disclosure you mentioned earlier, Section 4, right?
Exactly, the Office of Disclosure. And no, they're not just a filing cabinet. They're designed to be quite active.
Active how?
Well, their job includes analyzing and interpreting all this information, yes. But they also have to receive and investigate comments from the public about it.
Ah, public input.
And here's a key part. They are mandated to make the information available to the public. And they actually rate the financial institutions.
They rate them? Publicly. Based on what?
Based on whether they're meeting the housing credit needs of the communities they operate in using the data they've submitted. It's about public accountability.
Wow. A public rating system for banks based on fair lending data? That's quite a tool. It turns compliance into potential public pressure.
It really does. And that analytical function is explicitly meant to help identify possible discriminatory lending patterns. So if you pull back, what you have is legislation using incredibly detailed mandated data down to rejection reasons by neighborhood and borrower type, not just for oversight, but as a proactive anti-discrimination weapon driven by public disclosure. It's pretty unique.
It really is. That focus on making everything visible, the lending patterns, the rejections, the reasons,
and then publicly rating institutions based on it definitely gives us something to think about. Which leads to our final thought for you today. When you're trying to promote equality, is this kind of radical public disclosure and rating perhaps more effective than simply prohibiting certain actions? Does sunlight disinfect more powerfully than just saying, don't do that? Something to ponder. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.